Good evening. It is good to be with you. It's good to hear these lessons read and these carols sung as we remember and rejoice in the birth of our Savior. And we come together this evening to be reminded of the story and to be warmed in our hearts and strengthened in our faith. And what we're doing now briefly is just to hear some remarks, some reflection of God's word, of God's promise of this Savior to be born. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me in Genesis. It's there in your bulletin as well. We will be looking briefly at Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26 this evening. As we've been preparing for our Christmas celebration, we've been looking at Matthew's account in chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And that passage looks at the news of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. And Matthew writes the account to tell the reader about how all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Tonight, as we look at Genesis, we'll look at another birth announcement, the birth announcement of Jesus of Nazareth in light of a much older birth announcement, that of Seth. So hear God's word from Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thanks, and we rejoice in the birth of our Savior, the accomplishment of your salvation and the appointment of time that you have ordained. And we stand in awe and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Help us in our hearing of your word and help me in the proclaiming of this great announcement, the very salvation by your hand. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. On May 2nd, 2008, a new film was released called Iron Man. And that set off a major enterprise for Marvel Comics, telling the tale of a collection of superheroes with various abilities and various origin stories, all weaving together their parts in an epic battle between good and evil, between our planet's safety or its utter annihilation. 27 movies, 3 shows later, and more on the way, we cannot get enough of these stories. I started back in July watching them all over again in timeline order, and it is truly an epic tale. But what we have tonight, as we remember these verses and passages, as we remember the Christmas story, it is no less epic. The gospel writers are announcing a story between good and evil, a story connecting our very creation with deep hopes for our redemption, a Savior to restore all things. We long for a Savior, don't we? To swoop in, to save the day from evil, from oppression and injustice, from physical illness and death. Or if not to swoop in on our behalf, at least give us what we need. Give us and provide for safety and security so that we may save ourselves. We seek out salvation in all kinds of ways, don't we? Whether it be ourselves, setting our hope upon a public celebrity, trusting in our political ideals, our own wisdom, our own strength. But all of these things, all of them, fall short of the glory of God and prove themselves counterfeit to the one true Savior appointed by God. The good news that we remember in Christ's birth is that God has appointed such salvation. The gospel writers are announcing this very Savior to be Jesus of Nazareth. This is a story that hinges all hope upon a promise given a very long time ago. And what we look at tonight in this passage is how God has appointed the hope of salvation in a child to come. So what does Seth have to do with this? In these short verses, it packs together all that has taken place so far in Genesis 1 through 4. And it sets in motion all that will take place throughout the entirety of the Bible. The creation of all things for the glory of God. The creation of all humanity as the image and likeness of God. The purpose of all humanity to be stewards, cultivating and caring for all creation so that all things would flourish and thrive. But this did not last. Being tempted, Adam and Eve chose to take that which was not given to them. In doing so, they set all of humanity on a trajectory of sin, brokenness, and corruption, and a falling away from our original design. From their one disobedience, more corruption flowed. Eve conceived Cain, we learn in chapter 4, verse 1. Adam and Eve's firstborn. And we watch his anger kindle as he murders his brother Abel. We briefly learn about Cain's family, how his wife conceived, and by that time of his descendant Lamech, the effects of sin has greatly multiplied. But in the backdrop of that despair, there is still hope. And so Eve conceived again, this time naming the child Seth, which is a word play for the word that means to put or to set. And she says so much in the verse this evening, for she says, God has appointed for me another offspring. There is hope kindled, but hope is deferred until the appointed time. These are the moments in those Marvel movies or even video games that are called Easter eggs. Such Easter eggs are hints or nods to something that is significant in the story. It's a callback to something in the past, or it's a clue to what might point to something to come later. And so what is significant about Eve's words here? Already, this early in the story, this word has been used before. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the Lord says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That I will put enmity between you. This verse is sometimes called the first gospel. Despite the judgment and the curse of the fall upon Adam and Eve, there is a merciful promise. You see, even in the midst of losing it all, God appointed a way to redeem it all. There will be one who will come, who will reclaim all that was lost, repair all that is broken, and reconcile all that is separated. Eve is placing her hope in God's promise that perhaps this new child will indeed be the offspring to right all wrongs. But as the story unfolds, we learn that it is not the case. It is hope kindled, but hope deferred until the appointed time. Then there was Noah, born with that same hope in mind. As you see, Noah's name is related to the word rest. When Noah was born, it was said in Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Again, there is hope kindled, but hope deferred until the appointed time. There was Abraham. God is furthering his work of salvation to come through a particular person as he makes a covenant with him, saying in Genesis chapter 17, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after the land of your sojournings all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This covenant made with Abraham was then confirmed with his offspring through his line, through Isaac, through Jacob, and the people to be known as Israelites. And again, there was hope kindled, but hope deferred until the appointed time. Jumping ahead in the story, we learn of David, how the Lord makes him king over Israel, saying these words in 2 Samuel 7, "And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And so it goes throughout Israel's history and through the ministry of the prophets. Hope is kindled, but hope is deferred until the appointed time. And the promise from long ago is prepared. That promise is fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The announcement of his birth sets the stage that now all the hope kindled will no longer be deferred, because now is the appointed time. And so the Christmas story is to be rejoiced and celebrated. The appointed time has come. All that is lost will be found. All that is sick will be made well. All that is broken will be fixed. The great hope of the Messiah has come. And the teachings of Jesus' incarnation, the fulfillment of this promise, is that Jesus is the second Adam. Jesus is the fulfillment of Seth, the offspring to crush the serpent's head. He is the fulfillment of Noah, where true rest is found. He is the fulfillment of Abraham as the one who reconciles peoples from all nations back to God. And as Luke recounts Paul's words in Acts chapter 13, verse 23, regarding King David, he says, "Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as promised." Later, Paul writes in a letter to believers in Galatia in chapter 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Through this promise, it is fulfilled in Jesus. Through this baby is to be the Savior of the world. And the beauty of Christmas, this inbreaking of his birth, is an announcement of great significance. This birth is a message that light breaks into the darkness, that hope sings louder than the songs of despair, that faith rings truer than rounds of doubt, that truth stands firmer than the sands of falsehood. And in this message, restoration mends brokenness, reconciliation brings peace, and God saves his people because he promised he would. And because God saves his people, we see it in the appointment of his own time. This Christmas story highlights beautiful echoes of Genesis, but with very important reversals. Eve, from out of Adam, brought the hope of offspring to come. From Mary is Jesus, was the offspring that brings hope. Hope is still kindled, of course, but it is no longer deferred because the appointed time has come. And we stand sure with hope kindled for Jesus' return. This is the message of Christmas. This is why we do it every year. It's nothing, although there's something beautiful about Hallmark cards and Hallmark movies. There's a sentimentality that is important to the traditions of our families and the stories that we tell, but But please do not domesticate this story. This story is of great magnitude, where there is promise fulfilled and salvation accomplished through this baby. It's not just for the fun of a newborn. It is for the hope of the world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks and rejoice in this great hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. Continue to meet us as we sing and reflect upon our Savior's birth. In Christ we pray. Amen.